Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to the living God. Amen. This morning, you can open your Bibles to the book of Exodus, the second chapter. Thank God the power is in the hands of God, ain't it? Because I didn't have none in mind. In Exodus, the third chapter, we've done this a lot of times, but we're only going to deal with the first three verses today, and maybe a little bit of extra. Things have been happening around here all week. Crazy things that would absolutely just shatter and destroy your spirit. Mess up your confidence in God, if possible. Make your faith waver because of the things that are going on. And the sorrowful thing is, Brother Tony, is that you can't see an end to it with your natural eye. That becomes the scary part because you can't see an end to it. And the problem is, you just don't know how to tell it. You just don't know how to tell it. Because if you got into the very depths of what you was going through, nobody would believe you anyway. They would assume that you're just feeling sorry for yourself. When you're actually not, you're actually going through what you're going through. And you need folks to stand with you in prayer and to believe God with you. There is just so many things going on in our lives that we have to keep to ourselves. You know, and we laughed about it Wednesday morning. You can't tell nobody. That's the name of this message today. You can't tell nobody. Who are you going to tell? Almost sound like that song. Who are you going to go to? Ghostbusters. As we look in the third chapter, we read where it says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I." As you look at different ministers and different men and women in the Bible, who could they tell? They couldn't tell nobody. When David stood up in the window admiring, I'm going to use the word admire. Was it Bathsheba? Bathsheba? When he stood up in the window admiring her, he couldn't tell nobody. When he sent her husband to the front line to be killed, he couldn't tell nobody. When God came to get back what was rightfully his, he couldn't tell nobody. There are things going on in your life that you'll never be able to tell nobody. Because people are just not going to understand what it is you're trying to get across to them. Can you imagine having to tell somebody that you just met God on the backside of the desert? Who's going to believe you? It says, now Moses kept, the key is kept and flock. Depending on what you do, you don't have to worry if nobody will hear you. Amen. Especially when your life is preordained and predestined by God. The hard part is seeing it. Because a lot of times we just do not see it. But when God reveals it to us, we want to tell somebody. But you can't tell nobody. It's sad, ain't it, that you can't tell nobody how great your God is and what God is. You can tell the world, they'll accept it. But you can't tell church members how great God is because they're going to be looking at you all funny. You think your God greater than mine? Your anointing greater than mine? They might not be saying it, but they're going to be giving you that look. Here Moses is, it says he kept the flock of Jethro. We have to look at where he is, and he kept the flock. It means, the word kept means that, also means the same thing as flock. It means that he protected. There's so many different breakdowns for the word kept. The epistles say we've been kept by the power of God. How have we been kept by the power of God? We've been sustained, protected, amen, delivered, saved, set free, justified. Well, when we see Moses says he kept the flock, and the flock, you can hear the flock, you can look at the flock in so many different ways, but we want to look at the flock as being a type of the body. Because they're sheep. Jesus said, told them to go and feed my sheep. How many times did he say it? Three times. Feed my sheep. You have to feed my sheep for me. Then you have to make sure you feed my sheep for my Father. And then you have to feed my sheep through the Holy Ghost. Because if you don't, they won't hear you. There are so many folks that you are trying to minister to, but they just don't hear you. Moses, and it says Moses kept the flock of Jethro. And you have to understand something. His life was actually predestined, but you think Moses told Jethro why he was out there? You think he ran to his father and said, you know what, the reason I'm out here is because I killed somebody. You know what they did to murderers back then? They murdered them. That's simple, isn't it? There was no death penalty. You were just dead. He couldn't tell nobody. So here he is on the backside or on the hind part, which is the most fruitful part of this part of the desert or where he is, with the sheep, with the flock. Jethro, whose name means priest, he's a priest, he's a high priest. God will place you where he needs to place you. You may not understand why you're where you are. You may not understand why you're going through what you're going through. And you may not understand why you feel the way you feel. But the problem with the whole thing is, that's why God said he had to search the intents of our heart. Because you can't tell nobody. You ever been around people who always got a testimony when you go to tell yours, they don't want to hear it? They drown you out, continue trying to tell you theirs. I'm around preachers a lot of time when they want to tell me about their Sunday message, but they don't want to hear mine. Amen. You can't tell nobody. You can't tell nobody what you ate this morning. Here Moses is and his father on the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the what? To the backside. Now, it's kind of ironic how God works, you know. Here Moses is 40 years old. Before he gets to meet God, he has been out there 40 years. They're going to be in the wilderness 40 years. Something, you think God has a sense of humor? You're 40 years old, Moses. I'm going to keep you out in the desert till you're another 40. You're going to be 80. So anybody ever really thought about how old Moses was when they got through with their journey? 40, 40, 40. 120. But it says his eyes were not dim. Why? Because if you find yourself where God wants you to be, Your eyes don't have to grow dim. That means your spirit don't have to lose heart. But you got to be careful who you talk to. You can't tell everybody your business. You can't tell nobody. Moses led the flock to the backside of the desert. And you have to understand something. As the pastor's been teaching, they've been teaching about the brethren and fellowship. You ain't never going to really see God till you learn what fellowship is all about. Moses, God was teaching Moses what fellowship was really all about. Got him out there with a bunch of sheep. 40 years with a bunch of sheep. Sometimes God has to break you down before he can build you up. He had to destroy that Egypt mentality that was in Moses so he can give him a God mentality. Sometimes you can't tell people what you're going through because they're not going to believe that it ain't God. They're going to assume it's the devil, baby, the devil working on you. Elder from another church, we were bowling. He says, something happened. I did something that agitated me. I'm on the lane. And he says, man, the devil chasing you. I said, where he at? Where he be? Where's he at? So as I got ready to explain to him why I wasn't worried about him chasing me, God say, you can't tell him that. God has things that he's revealing in your spirit that you can't tell nobody. Because they're going to look at you cross-eyed and they're going to wait till you go belly up. All the hurts and the discouragements and the afflictions that folks have put upon you that you haven't been able to tell anybody about. Y'all don't hear me this morning. Here he is on the backside of the desert. We know backside means hind end or hind part. But the good part about it is that this backside is the most fruitful place. Now, he's in the desert. Why would it be fruitful? Because wherever God is, there is fruitfulness and there's life. Amen. How many people have you told how God blessed you and how God brought you out, and then you heard it come back from somebody else a different way than the way you told it? Did I say that wrong? It says, on the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire and of the midst of a bush. God likes to come out of the center of stuff. God will get right at the center of your circumstance and work out from it. All the time you grabbing and reaching and crying and snobbing and belly aching and whining about what you're going through, God is right in the center of it. And because he's in the center and you're not looking to the center, you can't see what he's doing. I love how God hears everything. It's some stuff going on in my mind right now that I'd love to tell you, but I can't tell nobody. It's stuff going on in your spirits that you would love to be able to sit down and talk to somebody about, but you can't tell nobody because you might tell the wrong body. Mm. So he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire. In my Bible, the word angel, the A is capitalized, giving it special significance, meaning that it is something special. What was in the center of the garden? The tree of life. If God is in the center, it says, and this angel of the Lord, the word angel here is translated Elohim, or also covenant relation God, a covenant relationship of the Lord, or creator of all things. And we know that it says that Jesus is the took creature form in order to create all things. All things cohere by him and through him. So the Father did one thing. He never went anywhere without the Son, and the Son never went anywhere without the Father. Jesus said, when you see me, you see my Father. When you see my Father, you see me. It don't matter what condition I'm in, when you see me, my Father is here. You ever had anybody tell you, I'm not going to touch you. You got the heebie-jeebies. Because you're going through all kind of hell in your life. But God is in the center of it. You just got to be able to see. I'm trying to see God in the center of everything that we're dealing with. Because if I can see him in the center of it, then he can work out from the center. He can bring forth that which we have need of out from the center of it. The angel of the Lord appeared. The angel of God, or the Son of God, appeared. I used to preach that it was just a regular angel. But then you have to ask yourself, did God wait till an angel left to come down and get in the bush? Or was God already in the bush? You ever ask yourself that question? How is it that the angel of the Lord was in the bush and all of a sudden God is in the bush? Did God wait till the angel left to get in the bush, or was God already in the bush? Somebody, I'm sick of him. What's he talking about? Appeared or became known or manifested itself unto him in a flame of fire. This flame of fire also, you can find it in the epistles. It says, thinking not strange the that you're going through. You can't tell nobody how hot your fire is because they're not going to understand. So it puts you back in the same category. You can't do what? You can't tell nobody. You go around people every day that know who you are and know this, your confession in God. But you can't tell them what you're going through, because then they'll look at you like, what kind of God you serving? They'll destroy your testimony before you have a chance to. Because they expect you to always be right. They expect you to always be humble. They expect you never to make a mistake. They expect you to be always supernatural when you're still human. But you can't tell nobody. You can't tell nobody, I'm hurting. My heart is about to just feel like my heart is about to explode. You can't tell nobody, because they are not going to understand it. Here Moses is out there on the backside. And I'd be thinking, I can't tell nobody this. I can't tell nobody that this bush is talking to me. And it's burning, but it's not being consumed. Who can I tell? If you notice, he never told a soul. And this fire burned out of the midst, out of the center of this bush, and he looked. He perceived, and behold, the bush burned with fire. Well, it already said the fire was burning. The flame was out of the, and see, that's another thing you have to look at, the word flame. A flame out of the fire. A flame out of the fire. We know that the word of God says God is a consuming fire. A flame was burning out of the fire. See, I can't tell nobody that. I got to keep this to myself. Rochelle's shaking her head. Here he go again. Amen. A flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked and behold, the bush burned with fire and the bush was not consumed. I don't care what you're going through today. You don't have to tell a soul. God will not allow you to be consumed if you do fellowship, if you love the brethren, if you care for the brethren, in spite of the way they treat you, in spite of what they think about you, in spite of the way they talk about you. Baby, this is it. We're in it now. Folks still waiting on the last days or the end time. We're already in it. We've been in it for a while. They waiting for a sign, and this has already hit. We've been getting signs for the last 50 years. We actually been getting signs since 2 Thessalonians. We've been getting signs. You ever made it through a trial and it was because a word that God put down in your spirit and you got ready to tell somebody about it and then all of a sudden you felt something stopped you from telling them? Because what God was helping you, because they was going to take your testimony and beat you over the head with it at a later date. I thought you did, or I thought you went, or I thought you prayed. Y'all ain't hearing me this morning. I'm about to close. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burnt. If he not already looking on the bush, how does he know the bush is burning? The fire is not consuming it. So how does he know this? Because when God puts you in a place where you're in his presence, you'll find out that you have hindsight. You can see that which cannot be seen. You can sense that which cannot be sensed. And you can feel that which cannot be felt. But now he's getting ready to turn around. He's ready to turn around and he's going to look on the flame to try to figure out what he hasn't seen already. I'm going to turn aside. I'm going to turn to see why this bush is not being consumed by this fire. I know you wonder sometimes how you made it. You wonder how you actually made it through what you was going through. That's because you accidentally found yourself in the presence of God. I accidentally found myself in the presence of God, Brother Chet, more times than I've tried to get there. And it's all been because of the fire. The fire has always taken me where I needed to go. I will not turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he had turned to see aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, where was God? In the center of the bush. Where was the angel? In the center of the bush. So when did the angel leave and when did God appear? God was already there. Why? Because God will never forsake his son. As long as you do what God has called you to do in spite of your circumstances, your situations, or your shortcomings, you will always find yourself and God will always be in the center, whatever it is you're dealing with. He'll always be there. Even though at times you can't feel him and you'll have to turn aside to see why the certain thing hasn't destroyed you. God called out to him. And see, you have to understand something else. We're not going to go that far, but when God first meets Moses, you understand that when God gets to telling Moses about what he wants him to do in Egypt, God makes mention of it in one of the verses. He says, and Moses, you're gonna spend eternity with me on in the mountain. God already knew Moses wasn't going over. He wasn't shocked. He already knew it. He already told Moses, Moses, when you've done what you're supposed to do, you're going to stay with me in the mountain. When you smite the rock, you've done what you're supposed to do. When you break the tablets twice, you've actually done what you're supposed to do. We always preach how bad it was that Moses didn't go over Canaan. He didn't need Canaan. He was with God. Long as you dwell in the presence of God, you don't need Canaan. God will manifest your Canaan out of it. Out of the center of your distractions, God will move. Out of the center of your heartaches, God will move. Out of the center of your circumstance situation, God will move. Because he'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Because wherever he can sense his son, he's going to be right there. So you better figure out a way to keep the son in your life. It ain't going to be easy. It gets worse with every passing year. But it's moving you to a place with God where you can see God as he is. And Moses said, here am I. He said it right. Here am I. Here's old frail me. What folks don't realize, Moses was actually repenting to God for his deeds. Here am I. I'm here, Lord. I'm right here. Because if you think about it, there was really no reason God had to call out Moses. Moses, he was already there. Sometimes God wants to call your name out to see if you can actually hear him. But you can't hear him if you don't have a covenant relationship with him. Most folks want to tell everybody their business because they can't talk to God. You can't talk to somebody that don't know you. You ever been standing in the grocery line, felt like talking, and decided that the first person in front of you was smiling so you talked to him? But all the time they were smiling and looking at you like, I wish you would leave me alone. Oh, maybe you did it. I get caught out here all the time. Especially when I have to go to the restroom. They want to talk. Want to tell me about their sicknesses and their shortcomings and their struggles. And I'm trying to listen and I'm doing the dance. Mike down the street, he was talking to me and I was doing my dance because I had to go. He stopped me. But what he was telling me was so sad. And so discouraging, not for him, not for me, but for him that I felt the need to listen to what he had to say. But all the time I had to go. And I still had to go up a flight of stairs, Fatima, and unlock the door. And I'm standing there and let me tell you, this is how sarcastic they can get. Rev, you dancing like you got the Holy Ghost. Man, please, I'm dancing because I got to go to the bathroom. Bye. That's because flesh don't care nothing about your listening. It'll take all you got and give you nothing back. That's why, Sister Sherry, you can't tell nobody. Who are you going to tell what you see every day? Who you going to tell it to? You know what folks going to say? I got my own bills. You ain't got nothing like these. Sometimes I say we ought to not have a bill burning place. We ought to have a church burning. But that ain't going to do no good. Sorry, Lord. See, I shouldn't have told nobody that. Somebody, the word going to get around. Rev talking about burning down the church. First time it's a fire, they going to come looking for me. You can't tell folks everything. Moses said, now I done been on the backside of the desert. I done been out here for 40 years and ain't never found myself in this position. Never saw God, heard from God. Now all of a sudden, this God that I've heard about from my forefathers wants to talk to me, and he got the nerve to talk to me out of the center of a bush that's burning, but it's not being consumed. I can't tell nobody. God talks to you out of the center of the bush all the time. The bush represents your trial and your circumstance and your era and your situation. And God's talked to you out of them all the time. But who are you going to tell? You know the old saying? Folks say, I tell you, I'm how you doing? Well, I'll tell you about my troubles, but I know you don't want to hear it. Sure they don't. Sure they don't. Everyone stand.